series wrap up on faith encounters, I just want to take some time to pray as a congregation and to allow the Lord just to begin to stir our hearts and to be open to what He wants from us this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You again, Lord, that You, as we've already prayed this morning, that You are Lord of all, King of kings, Jesus Messiah, the One who reigns on high. And Lord, we recognize that this morning. Father, we just thank You again that, Lord, You are in control of all things, whether we understand it or not, whether it may sound confusing. But Lord, today we want to trust You more and to follow You in all Your ways through all of our days. Father, Lord, You understand the needs and the wants and the hurts and the things that are going on in our this place here called Hope. And I just pray, Lord, that in Your will, and when You see to it, Lord, that You would work those things out, Father, and You know all the specific details. But Lord, my prayer again is that we would trust. Lord, as we take time this morning to wrap up a time of looking over both chapters 7 and 8 in Luke, that Lord, our hearts are open. Lord, that You would penetrate our hearts, that we would, Lord, again, as we pray each and every week, that we would walk out different, not just different because we feel good, but different because You have changed us, that we can become more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. I'm so glad each and every one of you could make it out this morning, and as we begin our wrap-up here of faith encounters, looking at the book of Luke, specifically in chapter 7 and 8, there are a couple ways that you can follow along. We're going to look at a couple of passages of Scripture this morning. If you do need a Bible, just by the showing of your hand, our ushers will be able to get you a Bible. And the other way that you can follow along is that there is a bright yellow sheet of paper inside the FYI, again, which is our church bulletin, that you can follow along with as well. So, with a Bible, or with the outline, or even both. I'm not too picky. But we would love for you to follow along in God's Word. And once you grab that Bible, and if you have a Bible with you, I'd just ask if you would go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're just going to put our finger there or just mark it, because we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But I have a question for you as we get started. How many of you know what the term NASCAR means? Because it's not just a word, it's really an acronym. It means something, Tom. Yes, it does. I'm looking over in this direction because there's a guy I know that loves it. Do you know what it means? No, that's... That's a good one. You know, in some parts of the country, that is true. But NASCAR... But NASCAR stands for the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing. Now, how many of you would watch NASCAR on television? One. Wow. Two. Come on. Let's be honest. Some of you probably closet watchers. How many of you have gone to a race? And so how many of you enjoy the sport of NASCAR? All right. Several of you. That's okay. Because I remember when I lived in Georgia some 10 years ago, there were some guys that I worked with who said, Jeff, we would love for you to come to a race with us. And I asked them, I said, why would I sit for 4 hours and watch cars turn left? And they said to me, listen, you got to go, because if you experience it, then you'll get it, and you'll either love it or you'll hate it. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if I love it, then that's fine. But if I hate it, it's going to be a long weekend. So we get to Talladega Super Speedway, and we pull into the parking lot, and we all begin to hustle in, and we walk up this long hill, and we just keep going. And I remember walking into the opening, and I see these cars just going by at 190, 195 miles an hour, and I smell gas, and I smell burning rubber. And at that moment, I was hooked. And since that moment, some 10 years ago, I have followed NASCAR. Because I encountered NASCAR, I experienced the thrill of it. and I have not left it ever since. Now, I have another question for you. How many of you know what the most famous words in motorsports are? Gentlemen, start your engines. Or, now that there are females getting involved with the sport, it's drivers, start your engines. And that is really neat. But now I want to ask another question. Because for me, what do you think are some famous words that we've heard Jesus say in our series here, Faith Encounters? As I was putting together the message for this morning, two words stuck with me. Just believe. Jesus said to Jairus last week in Luke 8:50, it said, just believe and she will be healed. Because I think just like my NASCAR experience, we have probably the same response when it comes to Jesus Christ. That we encounter him. For some of us, we have encountered him. We've experienced him. And we have given our lives wholly to him because we love him and what he has done for us. And for others this morning, it may be that we've encountered Jesus in some way. And we may have experienced that. But we have said no to that. I'll leave it. No thank you. Because it's going to be a very long life. This morning, the best way that I could title just our wrap-up in our series here in the book of Luke was The Race, Living by Faith Now. And in your outline this morning, there's a question that says, if you were to describe your life as a race, where would you be in your faith with God? Now, you may be someone who is a rookie driver, someone who is new in the faith. And I remember when Jesus dealt with the demon-possessed man, he not only dealt with him, but he healed him. And after he healed him, he sent him on. And he gave him just what he needed to go back to the town that he was from to share his story. And we were asked, what type of impression do we have of Jesus? And what are we looking forward to in our new relationship with him? Some of us this morning may want to get into the race. And we're just looking on, we're checking things out, and we're considering it, but we're a little nervous. And I thought about our story of the woman who had the internal bleeding problem, that she wanted to be inconspicuous and go through the crowd because in that time, in that place, she was considered unclean and she was a woman. But yet she snuck through and she touched the robe of Jesus and he realized that power had gone from him. But yet Jesus heals those who have a desperate faith, those who come to him with brokenness and a repentive heart. And so the question is, what stops us from going for it? You may be someone who is running on 7 cylinders and not 8, and you're beginning to slow down in your faith. And I remember John the Baptist, he said to his disciples, go and see if Jesus is really the Christ. And yet Jesus tells John's disciples, you go back and tell him what you have seen. And we were asked, what are our expectations of Jesus? And what role does he play in our lives? Or you may be, as what they say in NASCAR, when that car is running well and it's out front, you're dialed in just right. And that's where you may be. And you may be saying, you know what? The best is yet to come. And I thought of the woman who came to anoint Jesus, and that Jesus was so impressed by her actions, he let her know that your sins are forgiven. And that she knew she was a big-time sinner, and she came to worship him in a big-time way. And I'm just adding this in for my own thoughts, is that she was seeing that the best was yet to come. And as Tim even asked last week, and as Phyllis challenged us, do we live our lives with a no-holds-barred faith? And so as we are here this morning and we're wrapping up Faith Encounters, those are just some of the stories that we have heard, and there were many since January. And there may be in stories that have touched you or challenged you in some way or another. And this morning, we said for the past couple weeks that this is your opportunity this morning to share. And Scott has the handheld microphone, and we're just going to take the next few moments. And if you'd like to share that there's a story that really said, this changed my heart and my life, or a passage of scripture that has really stuck with you, we would love for you to share that with us this morning. And I'll ask that if you'd like to share, just simple, raise your hand, and Scott will get over there as fast as he can because his shirt says sail fast. And so he'll get over to you. And if you could share, just take about 1 to 2 minutes and do that. and then we'll get back to the race, living by faith now. So if anyone would like to get started, that would be wonderful. Phyllis?
I'll break the ice. This is something I shared actually with Tim a few weeks ago when he spoke, and there's two verses that God really brought to me in my own quiet time a couple days before Tim spoke, and Tim spoke, what he said just really resonated with what God was speaking to me. We are in the process of making some major changes in our family with how we help the girls with some of their challenges, and I just felt like, you know, God was saying, this is the time to act, because time is short. Remember, Tim spoke, time is short. So these were the two verses from Proverbs 3, verses 27 and 28. It says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, do not say to your child, 'Come back later, I'll give it tomorrow,' when you now have it with you." So I feel like God really brought that to me, like, this is the time to act. Don't tell people to come back tomorrow. And it just you know, resonated with what Tim has said. Time is short. What are we waiting for? Act.
Wow. So act now, because time is short. Thank you, Phyllis. Anyone else? Someone maybe over in this section? This section? Anyone? I know it's maybe a little awkward, but that's all right. We'll get it started. Kim? We're going to get you that mic so everyone can hear you.
Well, there's just so many things, but one experience I just wanted to share was just that whole thing Phyllis was talking about. I had the opportunity to work with Demir, which is one of the boys at Christ Home. And he was the one that was selling pretzels with me when we were trying to raise money for the retreat. He was the one that was saying, "Buy pretzels now," and he was scary looking. Do you remember him? So he was a great, great help there, and we actually spoke and had some conversation and everything, and the Lord just put him on my heart, and I'm kind of like that grandmom thing where once in a while I'll go and say, "Hey, you want to do dinner, or you want to go to the mall," or something like that, just to do something different. And because I had all my clearances and we checked that out, I was able to do it, and he got his hair cut. I was so excited because I was like, "How about that hair? You know, you got pretty eyes and you can't really see your eyes." And he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to get it cut." And I said, "Oh, that's great." And then it wasn't cut. And I finally said, "All right, let's get the hair cut." So it started out to be just supposed to be a real quick haircut, turned into 9 hours because he had a weave. And no one in the salon dealt with hair of his kind. So we had to go back, and it was just like a real long thing, but God had it in his plan for that, you know, and we just had more time to spend together. And I said, I hope, you know, that you're okay with it, because yes, I've learned not to trust white people. I went, great, okay, well, that was not really the goal there, but anyway, we just chatted, and he's got a great little sense of humor, and as scary as he looked, and maybe kind of angry, I just encourage us all to pray for people like Demir, because he's in a hard place right now, but and he doesn't believe in God. He says that. I don't know whether it's just for a reaction or whatever, but he definitely needs prayer. And it's just that caringness that comes from this church does flow within if you just allow God to do that and you're open to it and willing. So I just wanted to share that.
So continuing to have faith even when those around you may not. Thank you, Kim. Anyone else? Maybe one more? Thank you, Joy.
Not really anything specific, but we commented several times at the Women's Bible Study how the stories we were studying in the Bible study were also being taught here. So many of the lessons coincided or like overlapped, and some of the things that were said at either place sort of reinforced what had been said in the other place, and it was just amazing to have that almost like a double study of the same story. So it was really it was very special to read through these stories that many of us have known since we were children, and have our eyes sort of opened and see different things in it and expand on what we knew from before. So we really appreciated the fact that we were getting it double doses.
That's great, because, you know, that's neat that you learn. God teaches us, even with the same stories. That's beautiful. Bev?
Well, of course, thinking of the woman that came to Jesus and touched his robe. Mm-hmm. And the challenge was, do we bump into him? Do we walk around him? Mm-hmm. Do we touch him? Mm-hmm. So that has just stayed on my heart because I think I do it all. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the Lord brings us to a place where we've got to touch him. And so because we're desperate. Mm. And so those desperate means then work for good. Mm. So that still makes me think all the time.
That's awesome. And I think, too, it's okay that when we're in that place of brokenness, God can mold us and shape us into who he wants us to become. You know, thank you, Scott. Unless there's anyone else, I'm going to continue. You know, I believe that probably we could stay here all day and share, but I appreciate those who have shared, and that may have resonated with some of you, and you agree to that. And as we talk this morning, as we're wrapping up and talking about the race, living by faith now, many, if you watch sports, you know that, the pregame show is just about as big as the game itself, right? And I know that in NASCAR, they have the Home Depot pre-race show on speed. And so with that in mind, I wanted to give us some faith encounters, keys to the race. Some faith encounters, keys to the race, which is in your outline. And I want to share with you this morning that the first key to the race is that the race is meant to be completed. The race is meant to be completed. And if you still have your finger there marked in Hebrews chapter 12, let's read together starting with verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You know, the goal of a NASCAR driver in a season is to win the Sprint Cup Championship. And that in NASCAR, the winner is rewarded based on points. So it doesn't matter if I had 36 wins on the season. That may help, but it's based on points. And so drivers get points for so many different things. I won't get into all the details of that. But with the old point system, there was a driver by the name of Terry Labonte. In 1996, he won what was then called the Winston Cup Championship. And you know how many wins he had all season? None. But he was consistent. He did not what is called DNF. He did not finish. He finished his races. He led most laps, or he led at halfway. He finished in the top 5 or the top 10. And the wins are great, but the consistency is even better. And their job is focus and not distraction. Living a life of faith now is being consistent, trusting God with our day-to-day lives, our struggles, our hopes, and our dreams. And living that life testifies to the power of our faith. And let's be honest, we are to persevere. Perseverance is like if I got all of you to stand up right now and do jumping jacks. Let's do 1,000 jumping jacks right now. And we begin to go. And we get 100, and we're doing fine. 200, 300, I'm hurting. My arms are hurting, and I'm sweating, and I want to quit, and I want to give up. And we keep, come on, you can do it. Keep going. Let's go. 800, 850. I'm about ready to kill you, Jeff. Let's go. Perseverance is saying that amidst the pain, amidst the blood, the sweat, the tears, that we continue to move forward. And our faith says something different than what we hear in the world. Because the world will say financial crisis. The world will say job loss. But our faith says, my God will supply my every need. The world says, live for yourself in your relationships, in your jobs, in your marriages, in everything that you do. And yet, our faith tells us that we are to die to ourselves so that we may live. The world also says that there is no hope and that God is not there for us. And yet, our faith tells us that if we look for him, we will find him when we look for him with all of our hearts. And our faith also says that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And God may take us, to be honest, through difficult places where it doesn't seem that our faith even works at all, or even as it once did. But God will never allow us to stay there, and he gives us just what we need to continue in our faith. Because as we heard throughout our series, is that God knows our breaking point. And that gives us the opportunity to increase our faith. Because Jesus is the perfect embodiment of faith and the supreme model for faith. And our job is to fix our eyes on him. And also, if you remember, just like there are many NASCAR greats, we have heroes of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, just the chapter before what we looked at, we have the Hall of Faith, who are not just spectators in glory, but they are inspiring examples. People such as Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and even a prostitute by the name of Rahab. And those heroes bear testimony to the power of faith and God's faithfulness. And they are cheering us on in the heavenly grandstands. So if the race is meant to be completed, then the questions that we can ask, do we even know that the race is to be completed? And what is hindering and tying us up from running full out? So the first key to the race is that it's to be completed. And the second key to the race is that the completed race will be rewarded. The completed race will be rewarded. I'm going to read for you in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says this in verse 7. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At the end of a NASCAR season, as we have said, the driver with the most points, he is rewarded for a job well done. And here at Hope, we do believe that Christ will return for his people. And as we wait, we race to finish successfully, believing that we will be rewarded for living a godly life. And our reward is eternal. And the truth is that, you know what, for myself and all of us here, we will all face difficulties, but we are to be content. We are blessed. We just took through the students through a whole series on the Beatitudes. Blessed when you are poor in spirit. Blessed when you mourn. Blessed when you are meek. Blessed when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed when you are persecuted for what you believe. Rejoice and be glad, because we will be rewarded. And we know that we will not sometimes see instant results. But what is instant in comparison to eternity? And what I believe, as we have looked through this series, is that Jesus said, those who hear my words and put it into practice, follow these things. This is what I have for you. The reward is eternal. And I believe that God does not go back on his word. He will do what he has promised, because that is who he is. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 2, 8, and 9, it says, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. The truth is, I can't tell you what heaven's going to be like. I haven't taken a trip there, and I haven't come back and reported. But what I want to do is I want to live my life each and every day in the anticipation of being rewarded by my Heavenly Father. Living a life of faith now gives us the courage to believe that all this will be done one day. This is going to be done and finished. And we want to live out each day with no regrets, but living a life that is lived for the King. And so if the race is to be completed, we can ask ourselves, what challenges do we have that keep us from fighting the good fight? And what is our motivation to finish the race? Is the motivation self-gain? Because the truth is, those of us who have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the reward is eternal separation from him. Or is it for that eternal reward, that crown of life, where I will spend and we will spend, for those of us who said yes, eternity with our Heavenly Father? So the keys to the race is meant to be completed, and the completed race will be rewarded. And as we reach the checkered flag this morning, in our time to reflect and to respond, if you're in the race this morning, if you've said yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, remember where your true reward lies. Because you may be slowing down. But ask yourself, what will it take to get back up to full capacity? And if you're running with all you've got, as the old saying goes, keep on trucking. Because as Christians, our hope and faith is in the Lord, and our reward is eternal. And there may be some of us this morning who are not in the race. We have said no to a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want to let you know that it's not too late to get started. Get in. Join the race. But the truth is, it begins with starting your engine, believing and recognizing that you are a sinner and that you are in need of a Savior. And it's believing that He came and died, was buried, and He rose again through the power of the Holy Spirit, and surrendering your life to Him. But it's not only just doing that, but it's also getting on the track, living day-to-day life, living by faith now, believing and allowing God to help you as you live for Him wholeheartedly. This morning, the elders and myself, we know there's a meeting afterwards. But the truth is, if that's you today and you're saying, yes, I want that, I want to get in the race and I want to run well because I want to receive the crown of life. Or it may be that, you know what, I have been struggling. We are available. We are here. Because that is more important. Don't take that wrong, anyone. That is way more important than what we can do just by talking about a few things. And please take that the right way. Amen? Amen. I said just a few moments ago, and I want to close with this as the worship team comes up, that when I shared about a family of faith, we talked about true family. And as I said a few moments ago, it says, Jesus said, my true family are those who hear my words and put them into practice. I want to leave us with this morning before we close in song. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on who? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your word, which is truth. We thank You for Your word that is unchanging in a changing world that is around us. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to go through Your word in Luke chapter 7 and 8. We thank You, God, that we have taken this time as Your body to dig deep and see the truths that You have for us. I pray that our hearts would be open and not crowded and not hard, but that we would say yes to You in every aspect of our lives. Lord, this is what You've given us. And now may we go and put those truths into practice. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name.